Let me talk to you. New York, I'm gonna keep this short and sweet. New York, tell them whose game this is. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Good day for my international friends who are live. It is Saturday, July 8th, 2023. Welcome to this edition of the Don Tony Show. Hope everybody's having a wonderful weekend. Pro wrestling wise, wow. What a fun show at Madison Square Garden for WWE fans. And I say it like that because they got treated to a lot of bonus material. Unfortunately, all the clips of LA Knight laying out Hit Row and got a lot of DMs from people saying, yeah, I see it more. Yeah, I see it a little bit more and more of what I've been saying all along, that LA Knight is inspired 1,000 times more by Steve Austin than The Rock. If you look at everything that he did yesterday, if you just picture that Steve Austin, it would have been identical. I can't play the video, though, because WWE already put everything on YouTube, so I don't want to get hit with any copyrights. They got treated to Cody Rhodes. They got Seth Rollins. Was Cody there? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if Cody was there, but I know Seth Rollins was there. Took on Damian Priest. And I tell you, you know, speaking of the Judgment Day, they are on some momentum right now. On television, it may get overshadowed many times because of the Bloodline storyline that is primarily on SmackDown. And even Seth Rollins, them really trying to establish strong from the get-go the World Heavyweight Championship. But I will tell you this. This is a little quick plug for those that are interested. This Tuesday, Kevin and I will be returning for your next special episode of the Don Tony Show. If you're part of our Patreon family, it'll be live on a Patreon Discord. If you're not part of the Patreon family, no worries. The show will be on DonTony.com once it is over. I would say somewhere between midnight and 1 a.m. late Tuesday night. But one thing that we are going to do, and it is inspired from the Judgment Day, we are going to go back 12 months, not only for WWE, but AEW. And we're going to look at a good portion of the roster. You know, I mean, obviously those that get lost in the shuffle, unfortunately, they will remain lost in the shuffle. But we're going to look at a lot of the roster on both WWE and AEW from a year ago to now. And to see who is really, you know, advanced, whose stock has been elevated and who is not. And, man, I mean, I know Rhea Ripley's championship run has been quite subpar. It's not her fault, obviously. Austin Theory, you know, his run since WrestleMania has not been all that spectacular. That's because they're taking a little bit of a backseat of the major storylines going on right now. But Damian Priest, you look at all of those little additional videos that WWE puts out about him, they're setting him up. He's going to be world champion, probably Mondays. I mean, I don't see him cashing in on Roman Reigns. Yeah, we will talk about the Bloodline. We're going to do a SmackDown recap. And I tell you, after a two-hour show, you know, I have mixed reviews. The Bloodline stuff was excellent. Seeing Edge return was excellent, but everything else suffered and suffered dearly. Don't give me the, oh, Vince McMahon was backstage at Madison Square Garden. You know, there was multiple reasons why Vince was there. But I'm going to just say it right off the bat. You know, let's talk about SmackDown a little bit. A couple of things. Number one, you know, when you could spend 40 minutes on a segment, that is excellent and everything. But remember, that is one third of a show. And when you add in another 10 minutes at the end of this show, you're literally eating up almost, not half of the show, but a good 40% of the show. Everything else suffered. You basically had the Bloodline, Edge, and Grayson Waller yesterday. That's really what you got. Because what they did to AJ Styles and Karrion Kross, I mean, yeah, it's Madison Square Garden. You advertised it. You're going to have them wrestle anyway. But to have that match go 90 seconds, and not only that, I'm going to show you a little fan video of something that you did not see yesterday. I'm sure some of you already saw the video, but, you know, you damaged Karrion Kross. This is not going to turn into an LA Knight situation, my friends. This is not going to be, oh, what are they doing to Karrion Kross? You know, this is bullshit. Let's cheer harder. Let's speak out and voice our support. Unfortunately, and this is a lot of WWE creative, when you see nights like you did yesterday, you know, more people than not would be like, oh, he's going to be on Rampage soon. You know, that's not what they were saying about LA Knight. They wanted LA Knight elevated. Karrion Kross, WWE is not giving him that opportunity to have enough fans care. You know, yesterday, if you saw what was being said about Kross and AJ Styles going 90 seconds, make it a disqualification. Make it a fucking DQ. I know the MSG crowd will boo. Oh, that's bullshit. DQ victory, 90 seconds. Well, guess what? You had AJ Styles pin Karrion Kross in 90 seconds, and you fucked up Kross even more. Why? Because the Bloodline stuff went way too long yesterday. You know, I know this is cinema. I love this segment. I don't mind watching segments that don't involve a pin, pro wrestling. I enjoyed every minute of it yesterday. But as the time is clicking and I'm looking at the other matches and I'm seeing and the women's division, I have that segment in its entirety. Now, I have to play it at fast speed. I have to play it at fast speed because we don't want to get hit with copyrights here. But I want you to see, all right, this is only 2.5 times fast speed. But for those that are watching this on video, look at your screen. For those that are listening, I'm going to just paint the picture of what went down yesterday. Talk about trying to fill 3 pounds of bologna in a 1 pound bag. This segment featured Asuka, Io Sky, Bayley, Bianca Belair, Charlotte Flair. Am I leaving anybody out? A briefcase, obviously. This is basically the women's segment of SmackDown yesterday. Asuka comes out there. Nobody ready for Asuka. Nobody ready for Asuka. Here comes Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair hits the ring. They start beating the crap out of each other. Oh, my God. Look at those camera angles up full speed. Bianca starts beating down. Here comes Charlotte Flair's music. Charlotte is pissed because Bianca fucked up her match last week. Asuka takes out both of them. Asuka climbs the top rope. Look where EO, wait, what's taking so long? EO smashes it with the briefcase. Bayley with a rose face plant onto the briefcase. They're going to tease a cash in. Bianca takes out Bayley, and Charlotte Flair kicks EO Sky in the face for no good reason, and Asuka gets out of Dodge, and woo, that's the end of the women's segment for the night. Oh, my God. Did you see the camera shots? If I slow this down, seriously, if I slow this down, I'm going to show this to you again. I'm going to show you this on normal speed pretty much. All right. Look, this is this is just the regular video. I didn't edit nothing. Nobody's ready for Asuka. You fucking speed this up. I tell you, I think people would have some type of, seizures. Look at this camera angles at this speed. I've always complained about the camera angles, but I never, look at that. That's seizure alert. That is fucking seizure. Holy shit. I can't. The women's segment yesterday lasted 90 seconds. Asuka, nobody ready for Asuka. Bianca beats down Asuka. Here comes Charlotte Flair, takes them both out. If you go back and you watch it, Asuka climbs the top rope, and unfortunately, Io Sky a little bit too late, and Asuka's basically like, where is she? And she hits her with the briefcase. Asuka goes down. Bayley face plants Asuka into the briefcase. Io Sky with a beautiful moonsault. Bayley teases that they're going to cash in with the briefcase. And then here comes Bianca Belair stopping that. And as she stops that, Charlotte Flair lays out Io Sky. We'll probably get Charlotte Flair versus Io Sky next week, I would think. Because next week we're going to have Bianca Belair versus Asuka for the Women's Championship. And we know that's going to end in clusterfuck. But oh my God. Wow. Everything was cut short yesterday. Edge? Oh, you don't cut Edge's segment short. Edge on the Grayson Waller effect. How cool was that? Edge giving props to Madison. Actually said the S word, everyone. Actually said the S word. I know some of you out there are like, well, what's the S word? I know with some letters of the alphabet, all we got to do is say the letter and you know what we're talking about. But he actually said the word Sable. Edge reminiscing a little bit about Madison Square Garden, talking about SummerSlam 98, surprise partner with Sable, taking on Mark Merrow and Jacqueline, and talking about New Yorkers, giving a lot of praise for New Yorkers. They are dreamers and hard workers, and that's what I am. And then Grayson Waller teases that Edge is going to retire. Edge is like, I'm not retiring. In fact, I have a match tonight against Grayson Waller. And that was good. Grayson Waller shows he can hang. And let me tell you something. Thanks to Edge and John Cena especially, little AJ Styles, little Charlotte Flair, but mostly John Cena and AJ and Edge, Grayson Waller already getting big-time reactions from the fans. They were into that match yesterday. Grayson Waller definitely is here. And the match was fun. But unfortunately, you're saying to yourself, how the fuck are they going to fit everything else in? And everything suffered. Everything suffered. The Bloodline segments were excellent. Now it is pretty clear that what SummerSlam is going to be, it is going to be Roman Reigns defending the undisputed WWE Universal Championship against Jey Uso. Jimmy Uso, the one that used to get himself in a little bit of trouble, he's going to have the neck brace. He will be out of commission. But I need to say this before we recap SmackDown, before we get into the meat and the potatoes of it. I know there is a lot of you out there that are saying this. There is only one person that should dethrone Roman Reigns, and that should be Jey Uso. This is Sami Zayn all over again. And what I mean by that is WWE already knows what they're doing going into WrestleMania. Cody Rhodes will finish the story. Stop trying to change the story. I love what they did yesterday. The fact that Jey Uso is getting elevated to the next level, you know, is an awesome thing. That helped other wrestlers as well. Jey Uso, as main event Uso, you know, I know this is going to sound horrible, and believe me when I tell you, I don't mean this wholeheartedly. But if you had to use this comparison, I'm going to use it. Jey Uso is the Shawn Michaels of the team. Jimmy Uso would be the Marty Jannetty of the team. And I do not believe that wholeheartedly, but you can see that WWE values Jey Uso. Listen, in the real world, not everything could be 50-50. Not everybody could get a trophy. Not everybody could be, you know, on equal paths. You know, Jey Uso, they value him just a little bit more than Jimmy Uso. And that's just the facts. But, as much as a lot of you are saying, this guy is the only one that should be, the one that should dethrone Roman Reigns, it's not happening. I'm just telling you like it is, it's not happening. The match is going to be phenomenal. There's going to be so much drama, Solo Sikoa getting involved, Jimmy Uso getting involved. But at the end of the day, this is just milking time for the inevitable. Remember, WrestleMania, look, we're in the beginning of July. August, September, October, November, December, Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble is where you really start getting hard-nosed to the road to WrestleMania. 6 months. You got to milk 6 months. That is a long time when you got premium live events pretty much every month. So SummerSlam, you have to give. You can't have a throwaway match. And I hate to say that Rey Mysterio versus Roman Reigns is a throwaway match for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship, but it was. It was at a house show. You know, this is not a throwaway match. This is the Sami Zayn Roman Reigns match from Elimination Chamber. They're not in Jey Uso's hometown, obviously, but this is now another person that the fans are so hard behind that they're on this quest, put the belt on him, put the belt on him. Do I think Jey Uso will ever become heavyweight champion? I'm not sure. But he's obviously proven that he can hang, and that match is going to be excellent. But what do you do after that? What do you do after that? Seriously. You start lining up all the people to go up against Jey Uso. You start naming some big-time main event names. Sorry, there's a lot of names on that list that I just can't buy enough that Jey Uso could overcome the Brock Lesnars, overcome the AJ Styles, overcome the Edges, overcome if you want to go to the Raw roster or the Bobby Lashley's. And you know, when you start actually putting it up there, you know, it's not that we don't like Jey. Jey Uso's awesome. But you start to understand that not everybody could be World Heavyweight Champion. Be thankful that you're getting not only the quality time involving these guys, but they are building. Like I said, Tuesday's episode of the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show is going to be really, really interesting. Because, again, you go 1 year ago to now. And believe me, some people had momentum a year ago. And when you go 1 year later, you realize how much higher some people have gotten on the food chain. And the Usos are definitely part of that. But Jey Uso, more specifically, compared to a year ago, people want to see him get awards outside of pro wrestling for the way he acts. Spectacular. Spectacular. Loved the segment yesterday, but it killed everything else but Edge. So, before we run down SmackDown, let me give you a couple of quick tidbits of news. We actually found out yesterday the location for Survivor Series. And this is going to lead into news about WrestleMania in the UK. I will get into that in a moment. Yesterday, WWE issued a press release that on Saturday, November 25th, 2023, WWE Survivor Series will be taking place in, drumroll please, Chicago, Illinois. And people on the screen right now are looking at crime scene photos. They're mild. There's no violence, but it's just, yeah. That, Chicago, Illinois, everyone, at the Allstate Arena. That'll be taking place. And SmackDown will emulate in the same building the Friday before Survivor Series, November 24th. Now, I'd say that jokingly. I say it to prove a point. John Cena, and I'm going to incorporate WrestleMania and Survivor Series together for a minute. John Cena was at Money in the Bank and cut this very passionate promo about bringing WrestleMania to the UK. Now, if anybody out there that's a viewer of wrestling, I would say over the last 15 years, remember TNA, Impact Wrestling. Remember Jeremy Borash? After TNA would have events in different states and different countries. And unfortunately, people started laughing every time he did it because they realized that they were full of shit 9 times out of 10. After the events were over, Jeremy Borash would go on in the middle of the ring on the mic and he would thank the fans and he would say, you guys were so good and loud and energetic and that's what Impact Wrestling, NWA, TNA, TNA, whatever you want to call it. TNA, damn it. People know why I did that. You guys were so awesome tonight, lively, energetic. That's what TNA is all about. Total nonstop action. We love this energy. In fact, I just talked to Dixie Carter, and she said that we're going to consider bringing this back for a pay-per-view over here. I sound more like a 90-year-old man about to die from emphysema. And 9 times out of 10, it never happened. We used to laugh. After every show, we begged fans, if you're live in attendance, at that time, camera phones were crap. But at that time, could you just cap the audio? I just want to hear Jeremy Borash live one more time. And I like Jeremy Borash, but it was just funny when he used to do that. Listen, I want to make this perfectly clear. WrestleMania is coming to the United Kingdom. I don't know if it's WrestleMania 41 or WrestleMania 42, but WrestleMania will be coming to the United Kingdom. If WWE wanted to address the elephant in the room to the live fans in the UK during Money in the Bank, the segment with John Cena would not have aired during television. It would have not turned into a Grayson Waller effect. It would not have turned into viral buzz on the net. When you stop Money in the Bank for 20 fucking minutes to have John Cena say, we want to convince the people in the back to bring WrestleMania. You don't tease fans like that. You don't. And the fact that they did that, they're doing it. It is happening. It's not even a question. UK, the BBC, put out some news this past week that members of Parliament want to make WrestleMania a reality in the UK. And they had quotes from some people from the all-party parliamentary group, talks about the economy, the fans. You do not tease that with John. You don't have John Cena go all the way to the fucking UK, spend 20 minutes of Money in the Bank, tease it to an insanely loud live audience, have it go viral on social media, and then not do it. It's already done. Right now, it's just ironing out logistics. And remember what I said. I know it's not popular, but I do see a lot more of you are getting sick of the clickbait teases that turn out to be lies. WWE has been talking to the UK about WrestleMania since Clash at the Castle last year.
Not because Wembley All In has 80,000 tickets,
which is awesome. If anything, that's just another reason why you bring Mania to the UK. But you know the people out there. Everything's got to be a gush for AEW. And this Wednesday, Dynamite, I thank you all for the kind words and the compliments of what we broke down last week with Collision's rating going down as hard as it did. Half mil fill. I hate to say it like that. But remember something that I will always do, whether it's WWE, AEW, or anything else. While everybody else clickbaits and just tries to use this stuff to get hits, I try to come up with solutions. And I came up with a couple of ideas to not only improve Collision's ratings, but Dynamite's ratings across the board. And believe me when I tell you, you know, a lot of that, if people would hear it, I'm not this most genius person in the world, but the ideas, the suggestions I made make a whole lot of sense. This Wednesday, we're going to take it a step further, and we're going to address this doozy. Talking about cable television overall across the board over the last year is down 20% in the 18 to 49 demographic. And if AEW keeps the ratings that they have right now, they are golden. These are the same people that said if Wembley sells 30,000 tickets, it would be deemed a success. You know, we're going to talk about that on Wednesday for two reasons. Number one, tell the Bloodline that the viewership is down 20%. If you put good shit on TV, and don't tell me a five-star, well, that's a five-star match. There's much difference. There's a big difference. When you put really good shit on TV, they will watch live. Live is the most important aspect of it. When you see Bloodline stuff doing almost 3 million viewers, all right, what do you think? People that are out for the weekend, 4th of July weekend, honey, pull over. The Bloodline are about to come out. I need to go to a bar and watch it on the television. Honey, let's rent the room for 20 minutes. The Bloodline are coming out. Ding dong, can I help you? I was just driving by. But the Bloodline are about to come out. Can I watch your TV for a few minutes? You think you watching on your phones is a Nielsen rating? Think about everybody who's out and about that puts their phone and turns on live. You think that factors in the numbers? No. So if you still get 3 million during segments, what does that tell you? People stop what they're doing to watch something live. Don't give me no fucking DVR stuff. You see this week, oh, well, the DVRs. You see a little pattern here, and this is what I'm going to get into Wednesday. I want to make this clear. For all of those journalists out there, for all those podcasters out there that always write stuff like this about AEW, and now, the DVRs did 100,000. The DVRs. That's like me saying, oh, you know, I only lost 1 pound this month. But let me go grab a water pill. And then tomorrow I could brag that I lost 9 pounds. Understand, all these podcasters, all these journalists, all these Twitter heads that are desperate for a hand job or a like or an acknowledgement, oh, I feel wanted. Notice the pattern. They never make solutions. They only make excuses. They never make suggestions. They only make excuses. There's always a but. The rating went down. But the demo. But the DVR. But they never make solutions. That's why at the end of the day, most of them, it'll be 1 year, 5 years, 10 years later. Hey, how come nobody fucking gives me any opportunity or a little bit of a rub? Because you make no solutions. You make excuses. And believe me when I tell you, Vince McMahon has had a lot of yes men over the years that just make him feel, you know, everything is perfectly fine. But when you have the kind of revenue and numbers and ratings over the years and success that he has, you can afford that. These people online, they don't help nothing. They did this for TNA Wrestling 15 years ago. 15 years ago. Go look it up. They were doing DVR stuff 10 years ago. Dixie Carter back then. You know, go look up Dixie Carter's infamous quote about DVRs. We murdered that when she did it. Whenever you see these people, if you want to have some fun, ask them, what are the solutions? What are your suggestions? What would you do to get it bigger? Oh, if it just stays the same, they are golden. Imagine that. Imagine that. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're golden. Perfect. Beautiful. Fine. Yeah. When those older wrestlers get injured, broken arms, torn ligaments, concussions, surgeries, you know, then what? Then what? Your golden turns into a golden shower. So that'll be Wednesday. All right, so WrestleMania, it's coming to the UK. Survivor Series, it's coming to Chicago. And although there is some turmoil going on in the United Kingdom, and we've talked about it, for those going to Wembley, please be careful. You don't have to wear a bulletproof vest. Be careful. Look on the news and see what is going on and about that area, because there's a lot of crime. And when they realize that they have a lot of people coming in with a lot of money, you know, I mean, trust me, you're going to Wembley, you ain't going there with fucking a $10 gift card. You know, there's going to be people out there trying to scam, trying to commit crimes. I mean, you know, be careful. But Wembley, the UK, is nowhere near Chicago. Chicago is fucked up, with all due respect. Chicago is really goddamn scary. So the fact that WWE is bringing events there, you know, UK is not war zone. I mean, if you're going to bring big premium live events to Saudi Arabia, you know, where there's, you know, everything will be fine. People commit, that's my point, Dream. People commit crimes all over America. Chicago is, to me, worse than the UK as far as crimes go. Now, if you were going to say to me that WWE's considering bringing WrestleMania to France right now, I would say that might not be a good idea at the moment. That might not be a good idea. Unless you're going to do it on a naval base. So, okay. Logan Paul. I don't know how to feel about this. I really don't know how to feel about this. Logan Paul, I mean, there's no question about it. He took wrestling like riding a bike. I mean, he just got on it and was just going. I mean, the guy really has delivered. I'm not going to take that away from Logan Paul. Something that I have noticed, that WWE just looks the other way. And honestly, I don't look the other way. And I think there's a lot of you out there that don't look the other way as well. I guarantee you there are people high up in WWE that see some of the clips of Logan Paul's Impulsive podcast, and they're probably like, when he came out to announce that he was going to be in Money in the Bank when they were in Cleveland, do you remember what we talked about that night? 1 minute he's dissing Cleveland, that I got success once I left Cleveland. Cleveland sucks. Boo, 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 boo. Then at the end of his promo, he says, oh, I'm going to win Money in a Bank, and then I'm going to come back to Cleveland and party. Everybody's like, yeah! He just stuck a stick up your ass. And at the end, he talks about how it made no sense. He does this a lot. He gets tens of millions of people to watch his shit, and I commend him. His fucking drink in Singapore is selling in vending machines for $30 a can. $35 a can. I know I haven't put the video footage up yet. Nobody's really asked for it, so I'm not going to go out of my way and start editing stuff. Nobody wants it. The guy has figured out how to corner the shit on YouTube. But in the world of pro wrestling, he does things that honestly should not be tolerated, but they tolerate it because of the number of people that follow his shit. If you really dissect what his promos, he talks out of both sides of his mouth. Cleveland, you suck. When I win Money in the Bank, I'm coming back here to party. Did I miss something here? I mean, so he goes on his Impulsive podcast last week. He talks about Money in the Bank. He talks about Ricochet. And word for word, he says this. He says this, okay? This is exact words. Guys, I'm a little tired. We're in London. I literally just got done doing Money in the Bank. I'm a little beat up. Money in the Bank ruined my life. I lost, and I'm a wanker, I guess. Okay, fine, so far. Listen close. These fans go hard. They have no respect what I do. I'm sacrificing my body out there. These guys have no respect for what I do. I felt like his rib cage, Damian Priest, under my weight of a 60-inch box jump, and they start chanting, you still suck. You still suck. So he's ragging on the UK fans that they have no respect for him. What is the next thing that he says immediately after this? If the crowd is enjoying themselves, then so am I. Am I, like, missing something here? Am I just, like, maybe some people think, you're reading too much into it. This motherfucker talks on both sides of his mouth. You don't respect me. I busted my body out there and you still say I suck. You have no respect for me. But if you're having a good time, you know what it almost sounds like? It sounds like some nerd, some weak little pussy bitch, like gets in the face of a bouncer and starts telling the bouncer off, and it's that, you're a piece of shit, you fuck, what do you think, you're a tough guy? I'll fucking lay your ass out. And as soon as the bouncer puts his hands up, I respect what you do. Oh, fuck you. Seriously. Fuck you. I'm not looking for no viral shit. I don't need hundred thousands of views. I don't want that kind of attention. I like doing what I'm doing. Even though, you know, a lot of our noise and what we talk about, you know, it's not popular because it's too legit, too real. So then he talks about Ricochet. And I see what he's trying to do here. He's trying to turn something into a storyline, but at the same time, he's disrespecting pro wrestling, in my opinion. You remember Tony Schiavone towards the final days of WCW? I don't know if it was a Rick Steiner match, something with Rick Steiner. I don't know why Rick Steiner comes to mind, but I remember Tony Schiavone was on the TV, and he had a whole bunch of papers. He said, guys, this is not part of the script. I mean, number one, that should never be mentioned on television. But he actually picked up a bunch of papers. I remember in an episode of Nitro, and he says, guys, this is not part of the script. So he's trying to make a storyline into something that is not a storyline, but is a story. You see what he's trying to take reality, turn something that's not, and turn it into reality and storyline. Logan Paul, to set up, which is going to be their match at SummerSlam, talks about the botched move at Money in the Bank. And he gets into detail about what went wrong. And he says that Ricochet called for a Spanish fly off the top rope. So one of their legs is on the rope and one is on the ladder. And they're supposed to hit at the same time. So something happened. He slipped down and he says, keep in mind, I'm a noob. So I don't really know what I'm doing out there. So when stuff goes wrong, I really don't know how to improvise. So in my head, I'm like, this is fucked. We fucked up. How's he going to even do this? Our legs are all twisted, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, oh, this motherfucker is still trying to send this shit. I'm not even ready. His feet aren't even planted off the second rope. Just hucks a backup, and I'm like, all right, we went crashing through the tables. I scraped my shoulder. I hit my head. I'm fine. No concussions or anything. It's just a wild sport. I don't know what I'm doing. Why are you saying this shit publicly? Because it's interesting for your podcast? Does he understand that he goes on to say that they brawled in the back because Ricochet did the spot anyway. I'm going to be honest, quote, he blew the fucking match for me. That's why we got into it backstage. I got into a little tussle with him. I felt like he was unprofessional. I don't know. I don't know how you all feel about it. But to me, is this guy just doing wrestling so he feels like he's an even bigger celebrity? That he's got great combo and material for his podcasts? He just had Money in the Bank. Like, it's like that, you ever hear that sound effect when Fred Flintstone runs to his car? You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. Like, this motherfucker runs to the camera to fucking go on his podcast. Oh, you'll never believe what happened here. I sound like Richard Nixon. Oh, you'll never believe what happened here. I'm sorry. I'm sure, like, a lot of old school people out there would probably feel this way. And younger fans, even though the ones that like Logan Paul, you read too much into it. You know, I think WWE would be just fine without Logan Paul. And I'm not saying that he shouldn't be out there. But if this guy's, you know, runs to his podcast to, we know what pro wrestling is. We don't need to be told it. Remember that asshole coach from the Jacksonville Jaguars? I have said it 1,000 times on my shows. Everyone else, shh. They never mentioned it once because they don't want to ruin it for AEW. MJF, biggest heel. Eat, sleep, shits what he does. If I was MJF, I would have knocked out that former Jacksonville Jaguars coach, Urban Meyer. Why do you say that? For people that maybe are new to my shows that may not even know what I'm talking about? MJF has a big feud going on with Chris Jericho. And you might remember during the days of COVID, you know, they recorded stuff. They had, you know, empty buildings and stuff. And, you know, they had a match. I don't know if it was Stadium Stampede. I don't remember what it was. But they recorded half the match. And if I remember correctly, I think either MJF's head went through a door glass or Chris Jericho's, whatever it was. And it was recorded up until that point, and then after that, everything was live. This asshole from the Jacksonville Jaguars is backstage with Tony Khan, a few other people in AEW, MJF, Chris Jericho, and they're watching the first half of the recorded portion of that match on video. somebody snapped the fucking photo, and Urban Meyer posted on social media. You have MJF feuding with Chris Jericho, and they're standing next to each other, side by side, watching the first half of their recorded match. You know, what is that? How does that make you feel? I mean, we know what wrestling is. But when you are convinced that this person is feuded with this, it's almost like, remember Braun Strowman? Anybody remember the infamous photo? What was that, in Italy? Braun Strowman was feuding with, just like all of you, I hate Roman Reigns. I'm not finished with you. Remember that? They went to fucking Italy, and they, in front of a whole bunch of statues, there's like six or seven wrestlers posing. And Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman are standing side by side. Shit got taken down immediately. Why? Because we know what wrestling is. We don't need to be told. Imagine watching a horror film, you know, and you see like the bloody violence, and then during the film, cut. When the cameras are on, even when you're out and the movie is over, you know, shut the fuck up. I saw that stuff by Logan Paul, and I'm like, is this guy whoring himself out for wrestling just so he has more material to cover on, to make himself feel like an even bigger celebrity? Does WWE actually need this guy? I don't know. I don't dislike the guy. His wrestling stuff is great. Him versus Ricochet, the only thing that sucks about it is like Ricochet's going to call him out in the ring on Monday's Raw, and they have a big pull apart. It's going to lead into SummerSlam. You know, and I'm saying to myself, this motherfucker's going to immediately go on impulsive. And, well, he was supposed to say this, and I was supposed to say this, but he didn't say this. And he actually went there and took a personal shot against me. And now it's really on at SummerSlam. No, it's not. We know what the fuck it is. I don't like it. I'm just being honest with you. I don't like it. Okay. I'll save some live show announcements for WWE at the end of the show, because I don't think everyone is going to be interested in that. But let's talk a little bit about SmackDown, and then we'll get out of here. So just a reminder, tomorrow, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, if you're interested, check out the sit-down. Last Sunday's show, I mean, I have fun doing all these shows. Something about last Sunday's show got like twice the amount of attention. I look at the audio numbers, I look at video, like twice the amount of attention. And it's not even about the Mets prediction, because last weekend I said I think the Mets are going to go on and run the 10-game undefeated streak. Since then, they've won 6 straight games, haven't lost nothing. So we got a little bit of the Midas touch there. Now, because I said that, they'll probably lose tonight. But, I know we had some pretty serious convo as well last week, but last week was just different. I don't know why, so maybe we could carry that on this week. So let's talk a little bit about SmackDown. Oh, yeah, by the way, yeah. There's a little boo-boo. You know, did you get that? Can I show it on my show? Did you get that? You know, I don't know, man. Even when he took the phone in Saudi Arabia and he climbed the top rope and did that, he did that not because it was a cool thing to do, not because, you know, it was something a little bit different. But no, this way I could put it on my podcast. Like, everything's about my podcast, my podcast, my podcast. And listen, when you generate the numbers he does, yeah, do you blame him? No. But if I was WWE, you know, I would say, like, look, don't go there to see, like, Pat McAfee. Look at how Pat McAfee talks about what he does in wrestling, what he did at Mania last year. Just go back and revisit how he talked about it, and then look at Logan Paul, and you see the clear difference. Pat McAfee understands that even in casual conversation, you know, you could be disrespecting wrestling, and then you try to cover it up. So you realize, oh, shit, I shouldn't have said everything I said. Well, that's why we really brawled in the back. In the ring was staged, But because it went wrong, we had a real fight in the back. Stop. Okay. Let's kick this off. There we go. SmackDown yesterday. The big hype all throughout the night. Karrion Kross and AJ Styles. I'll show you the video in a moment. Then we had the tribal court, the trial of the tribal chief. Hey, you know, when you actually think about it, WWE did only advertise in advance three things, plus, obviously, Edge on the Grayson Waller effect. But we open up SmackDown, and right off the bat, we get the tribal chief. Tribal court of the tribal chief. So we open up SmackDown. The Usos come out to start the show. They immediately start talking about Roman Reigns. The Usos tell everyone in Madison Square Garden that Roman couldn't be beat, that he was unbeatable. Look at what happened at Money in the Bank. And as they're touting their victory over Roman Reigns and what we're going to get tonight, they are interrupted by Paul Heyman and Solo Sikoa. Paul Heyman says that he would serve as the counsel to the tribal chief. And they enter the ring, and we got four. So obviously, we're still minus one person. And Paul Heyman says that there's only one person that will tell him to stop talking, because the Usos tried to interrupt him. And Roman Reigns is like, there's only one person that will tell me to stop talking. And then all of a sudden, Solo Sikoa does this. That's all he had to do. Solo, Solo, Solo. Crowd is chanting Solo. Guy must have felt like $1 million. Look at the look on Paul Heyman's face. Paul Heyman is fucking priceless with his visuals. So we're getting loud Solo Sikoa chants. And before you know it, here comes Roman Reigns. His music hits. He makes a very, very long entrance into the ring. He's in the ring telling Madison Square Garden, acknowledge me. And they're chanting back, you got pinned. You got pinned. He gets on the mic. He's like, yeah, you're right. I got pinned. But the last time I checked, I am still the tribal chief. And then Madison Square Garden starts going, tribal chief, tribal chief. And then they start chanting for the Usos. Roman Reigns looks at the Usos and says that this whole tribal court is illegitimate. He brushes it off, thinks it's funny. He says if he didn't call for it, then the tribal court is illegitimate. The Usos get on the mic and they say, you're not going to manipulate us. In fact, we're going to put you on trial. And unfortunately, we only got Exhibit A. We thought we were going to get exhibits all throughout the night, but we just got Exhibit A. And it's all vignettes of Roman Reigns bossing around the Usos, even bossing around Solo Sikoa, knocking out Paul Heyman at the time that he was fired. And while all this is going on, the crowd is chanting, you fucked up. You fucked up, and it's all censored. Not even any beeps. They just, you know, the censors are getting lazy. Instead of going, oh, wait, you up. Instead of doing that, I personally think the censor button sounds better. Basically, instead of having you up, you up, you know, or if you're going to really curse, you leave it going. It sounds better. They just cut out the noise. We'll just take it out completely. So Roman starts talking and they take the censor off. And Roman says, no, I didn't. And then the crowd goes, yes, you did. Yes, you did. Roman puts his focus on the Usos, and he says that that's not who he is from that vignettes that they showed, but that's who he was forced to be. He did it for the bloodline, and the crowd starts chanting bullshit, and once again, complete censors from the TV, complete silence. Roman pissed off. He says he main evented WrestleMania long before the bloodline. I don't need the bloodline. You needed me. Roman says the Usos embarrassed him with that video, compiling his worst moments. His children are watching. And then Roman says, you know, about supporting everyone. He's got five children to support. You think I needed to take your children on too? And take note that during this entire rant from Roman Reigns, in Roman even teasing that he's done, he doesn't need the money. He doesn't need the power anymore. Right now, umbrella service sounds real nice to me. Take note, and as you see the picture on the screen, he ain't looking at Jimmy Uso even once. The entire rant that Roman Reigns went on, he's looking solely at Jey Uso. So Roman then says to Jey Uso, hey, if you want it, it's all yours. It's all yours. So what does Roman Reigns do? Well, he takes the necklace and he wraps it around Solo Sikoa's, Jey Uso's head. You see Jey Uso, he's got the necklace around his neck. Roman Reigns, acting all upset, takes the belt, throws it on the floor, didn't hand it to Jey Uso. Nah, I just throw it on the floor. And then Roman Reigns, he goes down on one knee. Looks at, and again, during this whole time, he's only looking at Jey Uso, not even Jimmy Uso. He goes down on one knee, and Jey Uso's looking at him, and Jey Uso makes the big mistake. Jey Uso shows a little compassion. He bends down to console Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns like, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck Uso. Fuck you. I love how they do those low blows. Remember, if you ever do a low blow in wrestling, you always got to aim for the inner thigh, not the actual nuts. So Jey Uso's inner thigh has a little bit of a bruise this morning. I tried to look for good camera shots online, so I was able to get some as I dropped some coffee on my keyboard. It's okay. It's waterproof. So Roman Reigns low blows Jey Uso. And then Roman Reigns trying to get a little bit of a beat down. Jimmy Uso sees this all going down. Jimmy Uso starts beating down Roman Reigns. Solo Sikoa tosses Jimmy Uso aside. And while this is all happening, Roman Reigns' necklace, the tribal balls, whatever it is. Oh, yeah, you got nailed in the tribal balls. The necklace, Solo looks down and this little necklace thing, big storyline. The crowd is chanting the Solo. Solo, Solo. Jimmy Uso shows up. He gets a Samoan spike for, thanks for coming, Jimmy. Here's a Samoan spike. And the fans are telling Solo, put it on, put it on. They think there's a chance that maybe Solo Sikoa is going to put it on. And there's the turn. All four members of the bloodline feuding with each other. But instead, Solo Sikoa looks at Roman Reigns. And when he's about to give it back to Roman Reigns, Jey Uso attacks them both. Jey Uso quickly gets spiked by Solo Sikoa. And then Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa take over. They take out both members of the Usos. They tie up Jimmy Uso in the Jey Uso in the ropes. And Roman Reigns is taunting to Jey Uso, you will never be the tribal chief. They have Jay tied up in the ropes while Roman Reigns destroys Jimmy Uso outside of the ring. Smashes him with the title belt, smashes him with the barricade. Jey Uso finally frees himself and attacks Roman Reigns, but is again spiked by Solo Sikoa. A couple of too many Samoan spikes, if you ask me. You know, people went from not being able to breathe for an hour to, you know, just keep coming back. So Roman tells Solo Sikoa to finish Jimmy Uso. They lay Jimmy Uso out on the announcer's table, and Solo Sikoa proceeds to do this. Smashes him through the table. And that was enough. That was enough to take Jimmy Uso and send him to the hospital. So after this is happening, they're standing over both members of the Usos, Jimmy Uso specifically. And all you hear in the background is Paul Heyman going, "I acknowledge you, my tribal chief. I acknowledge you, my tribal chief." And they're getting loud, loud boos. So we go to commercial, we come back, and Jimmy Uso is taken out on an ambulance. Take note. Take note. This should lead into next week. Latinos. Apparently the Latinos are the only ones pretty much that are concerned for Jimmy Uso. Rey Mysterio is there. Santos Escobar, Zelina Vega is there. I don't know where Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wilde were, but they're there, and Jey Uso is with his brother Jimmy, and they are going to the hospital. So the ambulance leaves, and we move on. Like I said, one-third of the show is already gone. So a couple of times throughout the night, and honestly, I don't think these were necessary. You probably, listen, you could have added another minute to the women's segment. And I know what some of you are going to say, oh, a minute is not all that much. Well, when you realize that the entire segment with the women only went 90 seconds, that would have been almost double the time. Or you take that minute and you give it to AJ Styles versus Karrion Kross. But for some reason, during the night, we were getting breaks where they were showing memorable moments from Madison Square Garden. We're seeing little, you know, clips over the years. I mean, they even show like Kofi diving onto Randy Orton, which is definitely a fun moment to look back on, but some of the clips they were showing really just didn't seem to be necessary. But, you know, overall, I liked them, but you realize everything else is suffering because of it. Now I got to share with you something that I've always talked about on my shows, and you will appreciate this. And this time I got to give a little shout out to Sports Geeta, who I usually call Shit Geeta. They did something this weekend that is memorable of what it was like to surf wrestling news in the late 90s and like the year 2000. And I've talked about this on my shows before, and I'm going to show everybody what I'm talking about. We used to always, the clickbait for wrestling news 20, 25 years ago is much different than the clickbait now. Back then, there would be like a one-line teaser, and then you would click on the link, and then you would get hit with loads of pop-ups, and then the link would end up being something stupid. And the one that I always go to that I always used to laugh at is one time in the early 2000s, I think it was 2001, maybe 2002, but I think it was 2001. And one website at the bottom said, Booker T appearing on this Monday's Raw. And I was like, wow, I didn't hear anything about that. So I clicked on it because I would have covered it on my hotline. And when I click on it, basically I got hit with all these pop-ups. And then it said, no, he's a SmackDown guy. And I was like, you cocksucker. You know, and Sports Geeta actually did that yesterday. On their website, they did this. This is fucking funny. This was on AOL's news site. It says, WWE SmackDown preview. 45-year-old star to end his championship drought after 685 days tonight. So, you know, you're looking at that. Now, there was no picture of Sheamus on the front, but that was the headline. That a 45-year-old star to possibly end his championship drought after 685 days. So I click on it. I said, okay, this is going to be interesting. What is the scoop that I'm not aware of? And when you click on the article says, no, he's not winning it. I was like, oh, man, that's so 1999 right there. You click on it, and it says, no, Austin Theory is likely to retain. Did you see everybody out there that has caught on? Guys, we talked 2 weeks ago about LA Knight taking on Austin Theory soon. Now everybody's running with it because, like, ooh, it gets me views. I don't do shit for views. I do shit for, you know, to put legit shit up. But this was funny yesterday. That was fucking funny. Yeah, that guy, Rohan Verna, yeah, he's, yeah. When you say who, yeah, exactly. All right, so Sheamus versus Austin Theory for the United States title. It was a decent match, but, you know, anybody out there, oh, no, Sheamus is getting the title. No, wasn't going to happen. You might feel that Austin Theory has sucked since WrestleMania, but that's not Austin Theory's fault. That is WWE's usage of Austin Theory. And, again, it's a tale of two champions. Look at Austin Theory since WrestleMania. Look at Rhea Ripley since WrestleMania. Yes, the Judgment Day stuff is great, and I'm not knocking Rhea Ripley, but I'm just proving my point. Rhea Ripley's reign has been primarily Zelina Vega and Natalya. And you look at Austin Theory, and it's not much better. And everybody's like, take the fucking belt off of him. Take the fucking belt off of him. It's not working. But Rhea Ripley is like, oh, no, no, she needs a long, long run. People that you like, you make excuses for. People that you don't like, you do the opposite. So, unfortunately, Sheamus does not win. As we expected, and it sucks because I don't like the pairing with Austin Theory, to me, it's not needed. It's only done as an excuse. But what happens? We get Sheamus, who puts Austin Theory in a clover leaf. And what do you think happens, everyone? What do you think happens? Oh, he's going to tap. He's going to tap. No, he's not going to tap because the Brits run down. Oh, there they go. Yeah. Pretty Deadly runs down to the ring. They get involved a little bit. Sheamus decides, I'm going to nail Elton Prince in the chest a whole bunch of times, taking his eyes off of Austin Theory. Austin Theory, you know, tries to get involved, hits Sheamus from behind. Kit Wilson distracts Sheamus, who knocks him off the apron, and then we get a fruit roll-up by Austin Theory. One, two, three. Brawling Brutes came out to ringside to try to neutralize Pretty Deadly. They didn't do a really good job of it, obviously. But once again, Austin Theory walks out with that championship. Please get Pretty Deadly away from Austin Theory. I like all three guys. It just doesn't make sense. It's stupid. And you don't want to feel like Austin Theory's wins are happening simply because Pretty Deadly is interfering. I don't like it at all. I don't like it at all. But I did like this. I like this very, very much. We got Edge showing up on the Grayson Waller effect. Crowd is buzzing. Grayson Waller. Now we feel like we got NXT Grayson Waller. You know, when he was out there with AJ Styles, you know, he was a heel, but he was also too much praise. Did that to Charlotte Flair. Now Grayson Waller, full-blown asshole. Edge is out there. Grayson Waller asks Edge, why are you back? And Edge says, because of them. We go way back. Edge talks about his first, you can't say pay-per-view anymore. Edge talks about his first premium live event for this company was SummerSlam 1998. He was the mystery partner for Sable against Mark Merrill and Jacqueline. And he talks about how New York is a city for hard workers and dreamers like him. And Grayson Waller then makes the announcement to Madison Square Garden. Well, let's let the cat out of bag and let everybody know. Let's give a round of applause. Let's thank Edge because Edge is retiring. And the crowd is a little bit confused. Edge looks like he's confused. Edge gets on the microphone and Edge says, I'm not retiring. In fact, I got a match tonight. Now, by the look of Grayson Waller's face, can you guess who Edge is going to be wrestling on SmackDown tonight? Yeah, we talked about Grayson Waller last Saturday, and once he revealed that he had the broken leg and he was nearing a return, and then we saw him back and forth with John Cena, it felt like that his return to the ring was imminent. And without announcing it, and I'm kind of shocked that they decided to do it. I wonder if there's, I mean, it's not, listen, you don't improvise Edge. Hey, did you bring a gear? Why don't you wrestle tonight against Grayson? No, this was obviously planned. It's interesting that they did not announce it beforehand, but they didn't need to because they knew that the bloodline was going to be a very big part of the show. So we're going to get Edge versus Grayson Waller. So now we got to start complaining a little bit. This is where SmackDown goes off the rails outside of Edge and Waller. And the close. We had AJ Styles versus Karrion Kross. And AJ Styles picks up the win. Basically, a minute into the match, AJ Styles is by the side of the apron. Scarlett grabs AJ's foot. And I'm sorry for saying it like this. I blame this on Meacham more than anything else. But Scarlett is grabbing AJ Styles' foot. Meacham was supposed to run up to Scarlett and lay her out. And she took a little too long. And if you look at Scarlett, Scarlett grabs the leg, and then she turns to the right, looks, and Meacham's not quite there yet. So she looks back the other way, acting like she didn't see Meacham, and then Meacham lays her out. And then literally 10 seconds later, AJ Styles, with a phenomenal forearm, beats Karrion Kross literally in about 90 seconds. But the big buzz about the show was this. Now, I'm going to show it to you without audio because this is interesting. It's only a few seconds. But for those that have the video, all right, this is fan cam footage of Karrion Kross and Scarlett's entrance. Remember, Kross is from my neck of the woods, so he's in his hometown. So this kind of felt like Vince McMahon, because Vince usually fucked people who would perform in their hometowns. So this is footage of their entrance. Now, when you look at this video, you have AJ Styles in the left corner of the ring. You have Scarlett in the middle, and she's doing her fall and pray. She's doing that whole thing. And then Kross enters the ring, and then he stands above her, beats on his chest, fall and pray. Now, when you watch this, I didn't listen to the audio at first. I was just watching Karrion Kross. Now, when Karrion Kross hits the ring, when everybody was laughing online, I thought, did he stumble? Like, and I was like, no, he didn't stumble at all. That's the footage. So I'm looking at it and I'm saying to myself, wait, what's so funny? I mean, I know there's a lot of people that don't like Karrion Kross, but what was so funny about that? And then I said, yo, let me give it a listen. And it gives a whole different perspective. Now, look at the ring and then look at Scarlett. And now I'm going to put the audio and watch what happens to Scarlett. And pay attention to the audio while you're watching Scarlett. She's doing her whole stick. Now, keep in mind, this is during a commercial break. So there's no reason for this to happen. But watch what happens. They cut the music. If you watch her, she's actually still doing it and the music cuts off. I'll show it one more time. Check it out one more time. Three, That's fucked up. That is fucked up. That is really fucked up. Now, we didn't see that. But obviously, you know, fans are recording with their video. So that is Karrion Kross's night yesterday. Definitely did not deserve that. They abbreviated the entrance. Obviously without them realizing it, because Scarlett, she's like, fall. That was awful. That was not good. Not good at all. It continues, everybody. It continues. Now we get the women's segment. Nobody ready for Asuka. Nobody ready for Asuka. Now, I will not get into it again, because we opened up the show with it. Asuka comes out there. Bianca hits the ring almost immediately, brawls with Asuka. Charlotte shows up. Io Sky shows up. Bayley shows up. Teases the cash-in. There's not going to be a cash-in. Everybody's laid out. 90 seconds. 90 seconds. It was not good. Again, I appreciate the flashbacks to Madison Square Garden. We know how important the most famous arena is. Hell, I went to the Garden so many times in my lifetime. But you start going back to yesterday, a couple of simple little things could have been tweaked. You got an extra minute here. You got an extra minute for AJ Styles and Kross. And the show would not have been so bad. You know, why did Jey Uso have to go down from the crowd? Like, would it really fucking mattered if he walked through the back doing a Shield entrance? I mean, I know the Jimmy and Jey, remember when they thought that they split up, and remember a couple of months ago? Look, and there's an Uso in the crowd. I know they've done that before, but with the amount of time that's been chopped off of everything else, you know, I just think it was mismanaged yesterday. The women's segment sucked, to be honest with you. Asuka, when you go back and you look, when she climbs the rope and it looks like she's going to dive onto Charlotte and Bianca to the outside of the ring, Io Sky took too long. And Asuka climbs the rope and she's expecting to get hit with the briefcase, and she flinches and looks and she sees nobody is there. And then here comes Io Sky a little bit late. Io hits a beautiful moonsault. And the cash-in was teased a little bit. But, yeah. It was, to me, the segment sucked. And that's why when I opened up the show, this show today, and I said, awesome show for Madison Square Garden yesterday. Because everybody there live got treated to see LA Knight take out Hit Row before the show started. Everybody got to see Seth Rollins take on Damian Priest. And I don't know who else was there. So they got even more than that. So they got a lot of extras yesterday. But on TV, there's only two segments that was worth a damn. So now we get the match that everybody, you know, didn't expect to see, but we did see. Edge taking on Grayson Waller. Now, before the match has started, Grayson Waller is taunting Edge a little bit. Sink or swim. Sink or swim, Edge. Sink or swim. So they're doing a match. And I understand why people did this. And I understand why people are complaining. The fans are chanting, "You still got it. You still got it." All right. I understand why people do that, because we don't see Edge all that much. And people forget that Edge was just at WrestleMania taking on Finn Balor, the Demon. I mean, come on. Edge has been back for years. You still got it. So I understand both sides to why, you know, people were chanting it and people were complaining at it. But this match yesterday, it was very good. And it went as long as it should, but unfortunately overshadowed because of everything else that went on. So as the crowd is chanting, "You still got it," Grayson Waller gets the upper hand and he says, "You know, I got it too. I got it too." Grayson Waller, he's here. He's made it. And the crowd, this doesn't feel like, you know, when Austin Theory first started, or J.D. McDonagh, and yes, I know J.D. McDonagh is still new on the roster as well. Grayson Waller's got a lot of high-profile TV, you know, from AJ Styles to John Cena to Charlotte Flair to Edge. You know, he's getting some big-time exposure out there. But he just blended in perfectly. And the match yesterday was excellent. We had Grayson Waller hit a twisted unprettier for a two, and Michael Cole even name dropped Christian, because that was a move that Edge and Christian used to do back in the day. And Grayson Waller starts, this was funny, Grayson Waller starts taunting Edge, saying that I run this place. And Wade Barrett gets on the microphone and says, he hasn't even had a match on SmackDown up before tonight. How are you running this place? You haven't even had a match yet. So they have a back and forth. Grayson Waller gets the upper hand, and he makes the mistake. As the crowd is chanting, Grayson sucks. Grayson sucks. Grayson Waller goes outside the ring and attempts to hit his somersault stunner. But unfortunately, he was greeted by a spear. Enters the ring, and there you go. That's it. One, two, three. Edge pins Grayson Waller, gets the win. And after the match is over, you thought that maybe Edge was going to give a little praise to Grayson Waller. But instead, Edge gets on the mic and says, hey Grayson, you swam. Because remember, sink or swim. I guess he actually did compliment him, because Grayson didn't sink. So he did compliment him. I didn't think about that deep enough. So he did give him a little bit of props. And you go on YouTube, and again, I was actually going to open with the clip. I don't want to get hit with any copyrights. There is footage of Grayson Waller in the back after the match was over. And Grayson Waller, just to summarize it, he sounds like a pig in shit right now. He is loving what is going on. So, interesting when you see the difference in defeat between Grayson Waller and Carmelo Hayes. You know, yes, Carmelo Hayes is the NXT champion, and I know Grayson Waller doesn't have gold right now, but, you know, you see the perception is totally different. It wasn't that, you know, Carmelo Hayes held his own, but obviously they're not going to have him, you know, Finn Balor job to him going into Money in the Bank. But no, it's like, how could you treat him that way? Carmelo Hayes went online the next day and he's like, do you realize what has happened in the last couple of days? Being around Seth Rollins, getting to wrestle Finn Balor, making my Raw debut. This is awesome. You know, and remember what I said last week. Carmelo Hayes versus Finn Balor at Great American Bash is a strong possibility. Carmelo Hayes not letting the Judgment Day storyline go is a big deal. If you missed NXT this week, and a lot of people did because of the 4th of July, you know, Carmelo Hayes said to the Judgment Day, hey, show up. You know, called them out. So I have a feeling that, no, I don't. And you know what? Somebody asked me, do you think there's a chance that Damian Priest would cash in a briefcase on Carmelo Hayes? That is very possible. And it would be really fucking interesting to see Damian Priest floating around Raw wearing the NXT championship, especially Finn Balor, you know, with no gold. Dom Dom has got Rhea. And Rhea's got gold. You know, so anything could happen. I don't know if Damian Priest will end up cashing in. I think Damian Priest is going to cash in ultimately on Seth Rollins. Or Seth Rollins may lose the title to someone else, and then Damian Priest might swoon in there and grab it. I think that, remember the night that all three members of the Shield were heavyweight champion the same night? I think somebody ultimately will dethrone Seth Rollins, and then Damian Priest could very well, because Damian Priest is being positioned as a babyface. He is being positioned as a babyface. If you look at the videos, he is very humble. Look at the video that WWE posted after Money in the Bank backstage with Damian Priest. There's even comments from Rhea Ripley. And props to Rhea, because she acknowledged that he wasn't even on WrestleMania. Something that we talked about. You know, people were like, oh, Bobby Lashley is no match at WrestleMania. Well, what about Damian Priest? Remember our recap? How come nobody's bringing up that Damian Priest had no WrestleMania match? So Damian Priest is going to become champion. But I don't see him possibly beating Seth Rollins, because if they're positioning him as a babyface, I don't think fans are going to be happy with Damian Priest dethroning Seth no matter when it happens, unless Seth becomes a heel again. So I have a feeling that Seth may end up losing the championship to somebody else, and then Damian Priest maybe the same night cashes in. And whoever had that championship may have had it for 5 minutes. We'll see. So, we are almost done talking about SmackDown. Paul Heyman is in the back. My tribal chief, Jey Uso, is back in the building. And he's looking for you. And Paul Heyman looks all concerned. Roman Reigns says he won't have to wait long, because his tribal chief will be waiting for him in the ring. So Roman Reigns, Solo Sikoa, Paul Heyman, they come out, they make their entrance back in the ring. We're around 9:50 in the evening. Roman Reigns does his whole shtick all over again. Madison Square Garden, acknowledge me. And before you know it, here comes Jey Uso going through the crowd. Everybody is popping for Jey Uso. You could see that he's bulked up. You could see the shape that he, I mean, he's been in his shape for a while. But now you picture, will they close out SummerSlam? I'm not sure yet. We don't know what the matches are. I think Cody versus Brock could very well close out SummerSlam. But Jey Uso, he is in the crowd. Crowd is going nuts for Jey Uso. And almost immediately, we get Solo Sikoa at ringside. He sees Jey Uso, as you could see on your right, around the 3 o'clock position. And it immediately is on. Yeah, we only have 2 minutes left, my friends. It's immediately on. So they start brawling. They get into it. Takes out Solo Sikoa pretty quickly. Ends up hitting the ring. And he nails Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns originally trying to get him to leave, to go. Jey Uso hits the ring, nails Roman Reigns, grabs a chair, starts nailing Roman Reigns in the back with the chair. Solo Sikoa tries to take the chair away from Jey Uso. Nah, big mistake. Jey Uso starts chair bashing Solo Sikoa as well. And while that's going on, the title is in the ring. And Roman Reigns gets out of Dodge. And now Jey Uso sees the title, grabs a microphone, and Roman Reigns is down the rampway, and Jey Uso is looking at Roman Reigns, and he says, the trial of the tribal chief, you are looking at the judge, the jury, and the executioner. I don't care about no brothers. I don't know how that's going to come off. But I don't care about no brothers. And I don't care about no wise man. When he said the brothers comment, he's talking about Solo Sikoa. Let me make that clear. I don't want to put any thoughts in people's heads that, you know, he doesn't care about Jimmy. So that could be a storyline down the line. I doubt it. But you know, I don't care about no brothers. I don't care about no wise man. I want your ass one-on-one. And Roman Reigns is just staring at him. And Solo Sikoa wraps up by just basically saying this.
You better accept my challenge so I can whoop your ass one more time.
Roman Reigns pissed off, looks disgusted, does not look concerned in the least bit. You know, he's mad. He's mad as fuck. But we go off the air. Jey Uso pumped up, wants Roman Reigns SummerSlam. Will Roman Reigns accept the challenge? Is Roman on SmackDown next week? I don't think so. I don't think so. You remember the schedule? I don't have the schedule in front of me, but if I remember correctly, Roman Reigns is not booked for SmackDown next week. Let me see if I can find that photo really quick. If he's not booked for SmackDown next week, hey, I'll tell you right now. I have the photos here. I'm just looking at last week. So it take me literally 2 seconds to find it. Okay, there's Cody Rhodes. Yeah, here's his schedule. Yeah, let's put it on the screen. This is Roman Reigns' schedule. Next week would be the 14th. Yeah. He's not scheduled for next week. So what'll happen is, what I expect to happen is, next week the Usos will come out there. And we may get Jey Uso versus Solo Sikoa one-on-one. I could see that possibly happening. But I expect Jey Uso to issue the challenge again for SummerSlam. Because he didn't actually say SummerSlam yesterday. He just said he wants to kick his ass one more time. So the challenge will be issued next week. And then the following week in Orlando, Florida, Roman Reigns will accept that challenge. And then the week after will probably be the contract signing. And then that leads to SummerSlam. SummerSlam. You know, take notice. I just noticed something. Do you all see what I notice? They don't have him listed as the night before SummerSlam. Very, very interesting, right? No August 4th. So what that tells me is that Roman Reigns will be added or it'll be a surprise. But I can't see Roman Reigns, him not showing up the day before SummerSlam. Nah, that's not happening. So, good episode of SmackDown for the Bloodline, for Edge, and for Grayson Waller. For everybody else, listen, it's not even news. You know everybody's going to come out there today. Our sources tell us that AJ Styles and Karrion Kross in the women's segments were drastically cut due to the Bloodline segment going longer. You know, it's common sense. It's not even news, but that's what happened. So, but I'll say it one last time. As much as that match will kick ass, and think about it, so much has happened the last couple of years between Jey Uso and Roman Reigns. This is going to feel 1,000 times more than before. We didn't even have live fans in attendance back then. This crowd is going to go apeshit at SummerSlam. But at the end of the day, this is not happening. It's not happening. We could root for Jey. We could suspend this belief that Jey has a shot. But at the end, Cody's finishing the story. I know some people don't want to hear that. But do you want to know the truth? Or do you want to convince yourself something else? If you convince yourself something else, you end up like these people. Unpopular opinion. Sami Zayn should have won at Elimination Chamber. 5,000 likes. Oh, I'm so smart. You know, these are people that commit. This was great yesterday. I don't like dogging sites, but yeah, I just needed to remind everyone. Yeah, they're on a roll, everyone. Charlotte competing in Money in the Bank. Carlito scheduled for his SmackDown debut July. Now, let's hear it today, everyone. Carlito's debut at Madison Square Garden was canceled due to the long length of the Bloodline. Yeah, I could see that. I think Carlito will join Latino World Order, and that will allow Carlito to team up with Santos Escobar, Carlito to team up with Rey Mysterio, and Carlito to be another thing. Because look, as over as Santos Escobar is, he's not. You know, you look at back at those Money in the Bank promos and you go back and listen to every person who cut a promo, Santos Escobar had the mildest one of them all. I mean, it's not his fault, but you put Carlito out there, Carlito starts feuding with the Bloodline a little bit, I think that could very well happen. So am I saying that Carlito is not going to debut soon? No. But didn't make sense for him to show up yesterday, especially when you see how everything went down. So, all right. Yesterday, Rampage results, very predictable, except for the Dark Order beating Hangman Page and the Young Bucks. Some reason it doesn't feel like the Dark Order are going to be going up the food chain for a trios champion. Yeah, yeah, put the House of Black versus the Dark Order in collision. Let's see how that goes over. Jeff Jarrett and Matt Hardy lose to Sammy Guevara and Daniel Garcia. We expected that. We talked about it Wednesday. Oh, it's the four pillars. Well, it's three pillars and Daniel Garcia, who may be considered as the fifth pillar. Brian Cage and Big Bill. They beat Trent Beretta and Matt Sydal. I'll get back to that in a second. And Hikaru Shida over Marina Shafir. You know, the woman that we don't know. You don't know me. You know me. You don't know me. Sounds like a bad song. Sounds like a bad version of Edge. Just think of Edge's his intro. You think you know me. Imagine if Marina Shafir had this similar intro like Edge. You don't know me. Dun, dun, dun. On this day. I could see clearly now that I have not improved in a ring. On his day, I could see clearly now that I'm going to be working at Burger King. On his day, I could see clearly now why my man took back my ring. Dur, 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 I could see clearly now. Why the fuck did they close out Rampage with Brian Cage and Big Bill versus Trent Beretta and Matt Sydal? Brian Cage is awesome. Big Bill, Big Kaz, Kaz XL, Big XL, Double XL. You know, he's good too, but they got no real momentum. They advance in the own autonomy. Anybody in their wildest dreams thinks, oh, blind eliminator. You think they're advancing? You think those two guys are going to win? If they win that blind eliminator tournament, I'll go on hiatus for a month. I think some of AEW's problem is match position on the show. Is it, oh, Matt, we're going to let you, not Hardy, we're going to let you, the Sydal, the other Matt, the other white meat, we're going to let you main event Rampage. Oh, I guarantee you when we go back and look at the quarter hour ratings for Rampage, that main event might blame it on Hikaru Shida and Marina Shafir. You know, people turned it off, never turned it back on. But, you know, yeah, you get them in the door. But you got to try to keep them in the door. Remember what I said Wednesday? You know, like, all AEW's got to do with Collision and stuff, like, get people in the door. See how they preview Collision this week? They're on TV. This is going to be their fourth show. This, by far, I think is the best lead-in to Collision yet, even with CM Punk's return on the first episode. You look at this, you see what's absent? Miro speaks! Andrade in action! Every time they do that shit, we know what it leads to. They've been doing it for 4 years. This might be the first thumbnail that I've seen outside of Rampage, because Rampage is only an hour. This might be the first thumbnail that they have never put the dumb words in action or speaks. They didn't do it. They're giving you four strong matches, Willow Nightingale and Athena in the Onar tournament, Hobbs and Starks in the tournament, FTR versus Juice Robinson and Jay White in the Eliminator match. Gee, I can almost guarantee FTR is going to lose this one. Why would you? Can you imagine social media if Juice Robinson and Jay White lose an eliminating match? How the fuck could you take away that opportunity? They're probably going to get a win. And then you got CM Punk and Samoa Joe in the tournament semifinal. You know, for everybody that is adding, I'll say this with all due respect. If anybody out there that's adding a Roman numeral after Samoa Joe and CM Punk's match, you know, the title, no, you are not any smarter. No, you don't look like you know, no history. You just try to act extra smart. You look like a fucking goof. I don't need to know how many times these guys have wrestled in the last 25 years. I hate when people do that shit online. All right, we're getting Samoa Joe versus CM Punk. You know, because you want to show everyone that, oh, I remember when they had their first match. I remember when they had their third match. I remember when they had their second match. So I got to put a Roman numeral 3 or a Roman numeral 4 after it, because that says I know more about these two guys and their history than you do. I don't think they realize how stupid they look when they do that shit. All right, but that is the best, strongest lead-in that I have seen so far. Get them to the door and try to give them quality throughout the night. And sometimes I feel like they close out Rampage to give a feel-good moment to someone. I main evented Rampage. You know, it's like you're turning people off in the process. All right. Do we have anything else to get into? I know we have a couple of super shout-outs. Oh, let me do one more thing. We'll do a couple of super shout-outs and get out of here. Actually, before I do my last news tidbit for today, let's do a couple of super shout-outs now, if you don't mind. Dream 101 disappeared, could not go to Madison Square Garden, had to work till 7. You missed a good show. For those who were live yesterday, they all loved it. They got a lot of bonus stuff, and should. Remember, John Cena wrestled the dark match at the Garden a couple of years ago. People are like, why is that not televised? Well, that's a treat for everybody who went to the Garden and paid the money and this and that. You know, we can't have everything free. But, you know, there's a lot of fan footage online. So if you want to go check that out. I will say this about LA Knight. There's a lot of fan phone footage of LA Knight yesterday with the Hit Row. Do not watch that footage. Go and watch the WWE footage. When you listen to the crowd reaction to LA Knight on a cell phone, it sounds 1/50th the noise compared to the acoustics and the WWE setup with their mics and everything. Phones never do justice. You know, and and there's a lot of people that don't understand that. You know, like you'll get like, oh, amazing reaction to the fans. And every time they recorded, you see people on, like, I don't hear that much of a reaction. It doesn't sound all that lively to me. Because live and in person, you could hear it, but it doesn't pick up on the phones. If you watch the LA Knight footage on the phone and then watch the WWE one, you would not believe how insanely different the reaction sounds. So, Sal Amendola with the 20 spot. Of all the, thank you, Sal. And thank you, Dream. Of all the thumbnails you've done, this one is my favorite. Funny thing is that Finn and Dom look like they could be in the band, hashtag the Beatles. Yeah, I had fun putting this one together. Definitely, I did Photoshop the briefcase. I had to Photoshop the briefcase because that pose was before Money in the Bank. But their road to SummerSlam looks strong. It looks strong. And you know, for those that don't understand this thumbnail, the Beatles had a famous album called Abbey Road. And they walked that same exact road, the same exact path. And a lot of people, when they visit the UK, they will take pictures and pose in that area. Finn Balor not wearing the shoes, that simulates, that's paying tribute to the album cover. I think it was Paul McCartney that did not have the shoes on. But it's true. Dominic and Finn Balor look like they belong in a band. Rhea Ripley to an extent as well. Damian Priest just looks like, I'm just following them. You know, he doesn't look like he belongs in the same band. You know, like, it's almost like a bad joke. It's like a British band and a merengue band went to a bar. Thank you, Sal, for the 20 spot. I appreciate that. Rizzo with a 10 spot. You would think Cross would be a wrestler Vince loves. Great look, great entrance, great talker, and a beautiful valet. How does he keep messing up Cross? It's so frustrating. Well, listen. Let's be honest for a minute. Not saying that you're being dishonest. Let's be honest for a minute. Cross has been back for quite a while. He's been given opportunities, but, you know, they have not done Cross well since he's returned. He's had his moments. Some of the stuff with Drew was great. Some of the stuff with Sheamus was great. The tarot card stuff, get away from that. That's part of the problem right there. You know, people aren't stupid. When I look at my cards down below and like, oh, what are we going to do? We want to book, we think Shinsuke Nakamura versus Karrion Kross would be an awesome match. All right, well, how do we do a storyline with that? I got it. He could just be playing with tarot cards and he pulls up Shinsuke Nakamura's card. There you go. There's the match. Book it, damn it. You know, Triple H, his creative powers has not been all that spectacular either. I know people still want to try to make it seem like Triple H does everything different than Vince McMahon. Triple H has been with that company for 27 years, 28 years. Triple H is part of the family. Triple H is part of WWE. Triple H for 28 years was not an outsider, an outcast. The only difference between Triple H and a lot of them is we're going to go to the bar and talk creative. What do we? Oh, I'm going to go to have coffee instead. He don't drink. Like, why do people think? Because they want to hope. They want to pray. Hope and pray. Oh, hope and pray. They want to hope and pray that Triple H will not duplicate the mistakes that Vince does. Why would you think that? Based on what? You know, why? Because, you know, he's helped a lot of people in NXT. You know, I mean, there's no evidence that Triple H is thinking. Triple H does give people more opportunity and gives them a bigger platform and gives them more time in the ring. There's definitely distinctive differences between Triple H and Vince. I want to make that clear. But at the end of the day, some of the creative mindset, you know, look at what they've done with Cross. How could anybody? Now, people will blame Vince for yesterday. And I'm going to admit, it does feel like a Vince decision. I just can't picture Vince giggling and saying, let me have the honors. Fall. And he hits the stop button. You think Vince, please, I beg, somebody in the wrestling news world, I know some of you assholes tune in. Please, somebody put an article out there and say, my sources tell me that Vince is a cruel joke. Hit the stop button on the entrance music for Karrion Kross. Please, please, somebody's got to do that. My sources tell Vince hit the stop button yesterday. Fall that. I don't know why WWE. I mean, I think Vince would probably like this presentation of Kross and Scarlett better than before. Let's be honest, too. Let's be honest, too. Look at Cross now. Not just with hair. Look at Cross now physically compared to when he went to the main roster. Cross himself had posted photos. He looked like he had baby fat around his tummy. He looked pretty soft. He was great physical condition, but he looked off. Now he looks, you know, look at Drew McIntyre. When he first left and he came back, look at the transformation. And look, remember Jinder Mahal? What Jinder Mahal did? Everybody was convinced that Jinder Mahal was on some interesting supplements. Transforming your body definitely helped. Look at Braun Strowman when he came back. You know, physical appearance is a big deal. And I think if Vince would be into Cross at all, now would be the time. Yesterday did not help him at all. From the entrance music to the finish in a match, I don't get it. I don't get it. What do you do? Throw his ass back in NXT? I don't know. But yesterday definitely did not help. Did not help at all. It's going to be interesting when Kevin and I bring him across on Tuesday. So, but thank you for that. And Rizzo with a 5-spot as well. The infamous Lana and Rusev engagement story when she was in a storyline with Dolph Ziggler. Yes. Yes, people don't remember that. you know, we had a storyline on WWE television where Lana was feuding with Rusev and she was with Dolph Ziggler. And we believed that Lana was leaving Rusev. And remember, they also did Lana with Bobby Lashley. Lashley. I still think that was a missed opportunity. That when they had the bed segments with Bobby Lashley and Lana, we should have heard Lio Rush in the background going, "Lashley, Lashley, what are you doing in my bedroom?" But yeah, Lana and Rusev are on WWE television feuding. Dolph Ziggler is getting it, getting some. And then they pop up on TMZ. "Look, everybody, we're engaged. Look at the ring. The ring, the ring. We're engaged." In the middle of a story, the Bellas, the Bellas, remember? "Stop, Nikki, stop. You should have died in the womb." And then 3 days later, paparazzi is taking pictures of them eating dinner together in a California restaurant. And they're like, "Hey, yeah, my good side." You know, like, you know, you notice the pattern? Like, a lot of these people that do that shit want to be aspiring actors and actresses. They think that they're entertainers outside of pro wrestling. You know, as much as we love Miro and we miss Lana, you know, they have said more than one time that they're entertainers. You know, beyond wrestling. And you look at the Bellas, they consider themselves entertainers beyond wrestling. A lot of these people, look at Logan Paul. Entertainer. You know, some entertainers adapt to wrestling beautifully, but it comes with a lot of baggage. And examples like that show you the baggage that comes. They don't have the wrestling smarts that, you know what, when the cameras roll, you know, everything is supposed to be suspension of disbelief, and we got to carry that on to keep the heat. And when you take away the curtain and you start doing that stuff, it's like, all right, how am I supposed to really buy into that Ricochet and Logan Paul really, you know, it's, thank God there. If you notice the upper card guys from Rollins and others, and I know that they've been in the business for a very long time, but you could see even a Judgment Day, even how Dominic and Rhea handle their business, you know, out in public. You know, they keep everything on the low, and that's why people, you know, tease Buddy Matthews. You know, there are people that legitimately think that Rhea Ripley and Dominic Mysterio are an item. You know, and that's great for suspension of disbelief, but you could see the clear difference of the people in wrestling that truly know, you know, the smarts that, you know what, it's as tempted that I would want to be, even Shayna Baszler on her Twitch channel, I give her credit. I've watched some of her episodes. Even some people, when they're on Twitch, they have that smart to say, okay, as tempted as I want to be to talk about something and pull it back a little bit, I'm not going to do that because this is my line of work, and I respect this, and I have to make people believe at all times. Showing respect for somebody you're feuding with is fine. Showing respect for somebody's achievements is fine. But to turn around and legitimately say, we planned that, and because it didn't go the way it planned, we really had a fight in the back, you know, that's stupid, in my opinion. So, all right. For those that are interested, WWE announced a whole bunch of new events from September all the way until the end of October. Now, I'm going to read these quickly because I know there's a lot of you that live in these neck of the woods. You might be interested in going to one of these shows. And keep in mind, all of the events that I'm about to tell you, tickets go on sale Friday, July 14th. So if you hear something in your neck of the woods, you want to go, July 14th is when the tickets go on sale. Saturday, September 9th, Saturday, all Saturdays are Saturday night's main event, by the way. I don't want to have to keep saying that, so you know that's what it is. Saturday, September 9th at the Nassau Coliseum here in Long Island. Sunday, September 10th, Sunday Stunner at the John Paul Jones Arena in Charlottesville, Virginia. Friday, September 15th, SmackDown at Ball Arena in Denver, Colorado. Saturday, September 16th, will be a super show at the Toyota Center in Kennewick, Washington. Sunday, the 17th, at Extra Mile Arena in Boise, Idaho. Monday's Raw, September 18th, will be at the Delta Center in Salt Lake City, Utah. Friday, September 22nd, SmackDown will be at the Desert Diamond Arena in Glendale, Arizona. Saturday, September 23rd, WWE will have a super show at the Acrisure Arena, is that how you pronounce it, in Greater Palm Springs, California. Sunday, the 24th, the super show at the Save Mart Center in Fresno, California. Monday's Raw, September 25th at the Toyota Arena in Ontario, California. Friday, September 29th, SmackDown will be at the Golden One Center in Sacramento, California. Saturday, September 30th, Super Show will be at the Chase Center in San Francisco. Sunday, October 1st, Super Show will be at the Tahoe Blue Event Center in Lake Tahoe, Nevada. Monday's Raw, October 2nd, will be at the SAP Center in San Jose, California. Friday, October 6th, SmackDown will be at the Enterprise Center in St. Louis, Missouri. Saturday, October 7th, will be WWE Fastlane, Gainbridge Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. Monday's Raw, October 9th, will be at the CHI Health Center in Omaha, Nebraska. Friday, October 13th, SmackDown will be at the BOK Center, or Bach, Bach. You can't win, Bach. Bach Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Saturday, October 14th, my brother's birthday, Super Show at the T-Mobile Center in Kansas City. Sunday, October 15th, Super Show at the Grand Southern Bank Arena in Springfield, Missouri. Monday, October 16th, Raw at the Paycom Center in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Friday, October 20th, SmackDown at the AT&T Center in San Antonio, Texas. Saturday, October 21st, they're back to Saturday night's main events at the Burt Ogden Arena in Edinburgh, Texas. Sunday, October 22nd, WWE Sunday Stunner at the Sames Arena, Laredo, Texas. Monday, October 23rd, Raw at the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas. Friday, October 27th, SmackDown at the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm sure I probably butchered a name or two. And then finally, Monday, October 30th, Raw at the Bon Secours Wellness Arena in Greenville, South Carolina. Let me know in the comment section if I butchered any of those names. We did get some ratings that came in. By the way, the tickets for Survivor Series, I don't think I told you that. They go on sale Wednesday, July 19th at 9 a.m. Eastern. And you could get the Ticketmaster, WWE. You could actually register for a pre-sale. Go to WWE.com, and they'll have a link for Survivor Series pre-sale registration. NXT for July 4th drew 508,000 viewers. Obviously, on the 4th of July, I was out and about. You know, a lot of people were out and about for the 4th of July. NXT was not top priority for a lot of people out there, so we expected the rating to drop pretty low. Dynamite Wednesday drew 855,000 viewers. That is up from the week prior's 809. I will get into more specifics as far as the ratings on Monday. And again, when we get into Wednesday, you know, we're going to have a little bit of a discussion as far as the complacency by a lot of people out there, and the level of excuses for everything as well. But with that said, I think we're going to jet out of here. So don't forget next Friday. Oh, on Monday, obviously we have Ricochet, Logan Paul with a little face-to-face. We're going to get a build continuing with Finn Balor and Damian Priest, a little at odds. Wouldn't be surprised if they actually open up Raw on Monday. But they're also doing this. They're going to do a, what are they calling it? Like a graduation ceremony for Maxxine Dupri. I wonder if anybody other than the Viking Raiders crashed the party. You think possibly in this year? They've done everything they could with the Viking Raiders. I don't know what you do with them at this point. I honestly don't know what to do with them. It's still not clicking. I think maybe in this year, maybe it's time to squash Alpha Academy and maybe do a little feud there. Remember the Creed brothers lost that Loser Leaves NXT match. So the Creed brothers are coming to the main roster. The only question now is it going to be Raw or is it going to be SmackDown? We talked about on Wednesday Night Dynamite. I think they could very well end up on Raw, although I think I would like to see them on SmackDown. But the Creed brothers are coming to the main roster, so that's going to be really interesting. But, all right. Wow, we did 2 hours. I didn't realize we went 2 hours. Holy shit. We went long today. I'm going to jet out of here. So I thank everybody for joining me today. Once again, don't forget tomorrow we got the sit-down, 8.05 p.m. Eastern. I show up with nothing. You tell me what we should talk about. And like I said, you know, I love doing those shows every Sunday. Last Sunday was different. I mean, I know we had a lot of laughs and a lot of serious talk, but last Sunday was different. I don't know why, but the engagement was different. The chat room was insanely loud and fun. And we had some awesome discussions. And, you know, reminded everyone out there that might be newer to the shows, for Sunday's sit-down episodes, understand nothing is on the agenda. So when you check out those episodes and you see some pretty, you know, interesting or out there as far as topics go, you know, give props to everyone who's tuning in with you because they're the ones that actually come up with this shit. I'm just the messenger in many ways. But, yeah, hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Here in New York, it's pretty hot. It's about 90 degrees. I have the air conditioner blasting right now. We don't have any clicking sound. Ever since I punched that air conditioner out last week, no clicking sounds. So I don't know if it was a rock or if there was a bird. At one point, I heard some noise. You know, if a belt or something broke in my air conditioner, I don't think it would have healed itself. Last week, something went down over there. But you know what? My room don't smell like death. I would think, like, if my air conditioner ate up a bird or something, either it would smell like shit or maybe feathers. So if I'm ever doing a show and you say, like, DT, stuff is floating in the air, that means probably my air conditioner, you know, took somebody as their victim. So everyone, have a good one. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. I
as
am
far
out of here.
Back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today, everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.